Well, I desire an interest in your prayers today. The Lord would be with us and help us. I've written on the board marriage, and underneath it, talents and forbearance. Last Sunday, we preached on the subject of talents and forbearance and read out of the 25th chapter of Matthew, where Jesus gave the parable of the talents, where it said that he gave some five, and he gave some two, and he gave another one, according, it said, to their several ability. And we read where God is the one that set members in his body, giving different responsibilities to different people, and that while we are different, and many members were one body, and that we need each other. And then finally, we talked about how that our differences can give rise to the need for us to be patient and forbear with one another, being tolerant, giving space, recognizing that we are different, and God, He didn't put us all in the same place. He's not asking the same thing of all of us, not requiring the same thing of all of us. And He didn't for sure create us so that we could then try to make everybody else like I think they should be, or like us, or like me, or he didn't create me to try to change everyone so that everybody else's actions seemed pleasant to what seems pleasant to me. That wasn't given to me to do. God created us different, put us in different places with different strengths and weaknesses, for a purpose that goes beyond ourselves. Well, there's another very sacred example where these truths apply that I'm inspired to consider this morning, and that is the institution of marriage between husband and wife. From the very beginning, God, He made man and He made woman, and He made them different. God didn't make man and woman to then try to take on the other's creation. He didn't intend for it to be confusing. He didn't intend for it to be an option for us to decide whether or not we are going to be a man or we're going to be a woman. God created men and He created women, and they're not the same. He also ordained marriage, where when a man and a woman become one with each other, that they can become stronger with each other than the sum of their individual parts as each fulfill their roles and responsibilities in the Lord. And importantly, this morning, Marriage means something far more than a union between so-and-so and so-and-so, and now they can have a union with each other and live life together in a way that pleases them, and that's all there is to it. Marriage means more than that. And I would like this morning to start by reading a passage out of Ephesians, and I'm going to read several verses. It's not going to take, doesn't take that long to read, maybe a minute and a half. But listen to the verses and think about what marriage is pointing to outside of so-and-so and so-and-so. In the fifth chapter of Ephesians and the 22nd verse, it says this. Paul wrote this to the Ephesian church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. But husbands, it doesn't stop here. In fact, there's a, if you count them up, it seems like there's more verses now going the other way than to the wives. Listen to what it says. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. It said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and those two shall then become one flesh. And then it says, this is a great mystery, but I speak. Another way of saying this, where Paul is saying, but I take this to mean concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular, this representation of the church that has just been outlined, we want to capture that in our hearts and our minds. And then Paul is saying, and nevertheless, let every one of you in particular. It represents something far more than just a particular person, but then he said at the end, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular and individually so love his wife even as himself. It's a high calling, husbands. And the wife see that she reverence her husband. So it bears reinforcing that marriage is a living metaphor. Marriage is a visual representation of something far more than a union between two people. Marriage represents Christ's marriage to the church. And the church is representative of his bride. And the Lord was so interested in us understanding the love that Christ has for his people. And he was so interested in us getting a better understanding of what it means for the union that happens between Christ and his bride, the church, that in his grand plan, he instituted an institution. He instituted the institution of marriage. As a representation of Christ's marriage to the church. So, when we get married, our marriage is intended to be about something far more than me. It is intended to be something that witnesses the gospel to the world. Marriage is intended to show the gospel to the world and the love that Christ has for all and that he wants to be the head of our lives. And that we can be part of his bride, the church, that he loved us so much that it says he gave his life for us. And I'll also just mention, because it's somewhat coupled, that the husband and the wife are also, as individuals, part of the church. As we give ourselves and follow the Lord, we are part of the church, which means that the husband and the wife individually are also in part representatives of the bride of Christ. And so, as such, there is so much to learn from this union. There's so much to learn about God. There's so much to learn about his plan. There's so much to learn about ourselves. And so much to learn about our spouse through the institution of marriage. Marriage serves to facilitate growth, personal growth. And as has been mentioned already, marriage has a primary purpose of showing the gospel to those that are married, those that they come in contact with. And so the Word of God provides us with valuable instruction and truths to carry with us into marriage that we can learn and be equipped to know how to make marriage most fulfilling and serve the plan that God intended for it to serve. And I believe that the Lord wants us, as we get married, as he affords us that opportunity, that we can become stronger. And with time and experience and growth, that marriage will become more and more fulfilling as time passes. And that is the preface of, Lord willing, what may be a series of messages on this subject. I trust that the Lord will bless our time together as we give this very serious, sacred institution consideration. I'd like to now speak to some of the realities of marriage and where we live. When a couple gets married and says, I do, and I will, and makes that promise, that does not mean that immediately upon saying, I do, that they each think exactly like the other one thinks. It doesn't mean that your perceptions and your perspective and the way that you see and react to all situations in life are now forevermore going to be the same. And that from now on, you live happily ever after with no mountains to climb. That's not what happens when you say, I do. Marriage involves taking two different people, man and a woman, which there are differences inherently between men and women. And then you take people, two different people, that were reared in two completely different homes, have different preferences, different points of view, different talents, different strengths, and different weaknesses. And you take these two people that are very different in so many ways and put them in very close quarters for life to live together. And to be committed to one another and to love one another and to show the world a very central part of the gospel. And you know what that's a recipe for? It's a recipe for differences. Taking people that are so different, from such different backgrounds, and putting them together and saying, you are now one, and you're going to live together now for life. It's a recipe for facing in very real ways differences, and that gives rise to these verses that we read last Sunday, and that actually Brother Shane read both of them this morning in Sunday school. And I want to read them again. Colossians 3 and 13 says, forbearing one another. This message is on marriage, specifically as it has to do with our varying talents and responsibilities and abilities, and how forbearance needs to be a central part of that. And Paul said, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against certain people. Is that what it said? What did you read this morning? If any man have a quarrel against any. That includes your spouse. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And again, to forbear, I'll read you again some definitions of forbear, means to be patient and tolerant. It means to bear a load that you may feel has been imposed upon you by another that perhaps is unjust, but you're willing to bear it. Forbearance. Abstain or hold back. Give space and room. For difference, give space for other people to grow. Forbearance. And one translation said, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. It's a pretty high calling, isn't it? And then Ephesians 4 and 2, which was also read this morning in Sunday school, said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another. Did it end there? Forbearing one another. Period? Well, here we go again. I'm just going to have to forbear. Over and over. I'm just going to have to be tolerant. I guess I'm going to have to give room for growth. My sense of justice is offended, and I'll let them know that. But it says here, forbearing one another in love. Recognizing that your spouse has to forbear with you too. Do we think about that often enough? And these verses don't just apply to everybody else except your spouse and your family members. Why is it that sometimes it seems like those that we are closest to, we can be the hardest on? The Lord wants us to apply these verses not just with everybody out there, but the Lord wants us to take the verses that He gave to us in Scripture about love and forbearing and forgiving, giving space and being humble, being meek with. He wants us to bring that into our marriages. I was reared in Oregon with a particular family with its own unique standards and norms. I went to a certain set of schools. I was around a certain set of people. And I married somebody that was from approximately 2,000 miles away, that had her own set of standards and norms in her family. And I didn't say either one of these were right or wrong. We live in different families. We grow up being accustomed to certain things. She went to a certain set of schools and was around a certain set of people. And I'm a male, and she's a female, and we're different people. And we got married. And we said, I do, and I will. And we committed to living life together with each other for our whole lives, regardless of what the journey might entail. And we committed not only to being one with each other, but that we would be one in the Lord as well. And I think that this is a story in general of most Christian marriages that happen. People that are attracted to each other, they love the Lord, they want to live right, and they get married, and they're different people, and they're from different homes, and they have different preferences, and they have different points of view, and they get married, and they come into the same household, and all of a sudden, things they never thought about, all of a sudden is very evident. Hey, I thought you were supposed to pass the food to the right. That's what we always did in our family. I'm not saying that in my personal family. This is an example. And the other one's saying, well, we do it to the left for this reason. This is what we believe proper etiquette is at the table. This is how we do it. This is bathroom etiquette. Well, I thought we were supposed to spend a certain amount of time like this. Well, we went to church like this. This is what we observed. Well, our thought was is that when you have children, you're supposed to do this. And, well, on Friday nights, we always did this. I thought that was normal. And, well, we managed our money like this, and you're saying this. And all of a sudden, all of these real-life situations you come face-to-face with. When you fill the gas tank up, you fill it full. You don't fill it halfway. Well, that's not what we did. That wasn't an example in our marriage. That's just an example. It spans all kinds of areas of real life. And on top of that, we read last Sunday that unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man or individual according to his several ability. The Lord gave different responsibilities and different abilities to different people, and that includes husbands and wives. And then the Lord tasked us with taking those abilities that He gave us that are different, and the responsibilities that He gave us that are different, and to be good stewards of the talents that He gave us. Or said another way, be good stewards of the responsibilities that God has given you as a man and a wife. Some you make decisions between the two of you who will be responsible for what. There are other things, as we read, that the Lord instituted as part of the responsibilities of a husband and wife. And the Lord said, I want you to take these responsibilities, this is Scripture, and these talents that I've given you, and be responsible with them, because when I come back, we want to have been found to have taken the responsibilities that He gave us in life, but it also applies to our marriage. The Lord did not leave out that union that is representative of the union between Christ and the church. He didn't carve that out and say, well, that doesn't apply. It does apply. It applies significantly. It greatly applies. And the Lord is saying to us, to all that are married, that you've been made differently. You're not the same. You have different responsibilities. They're not all the same. You have different abilities. You have different strengths. You have different weaknesses. They're not the same, and they never will be always the same. And we're charged to take responsibility for what has been given to us and use it so that when God comes back, we will have been able to take that original blessing that he gave to us. And use it for growth and for increase. Not only to those that we come in contact with outside of our homes, but that we would be faithful in our homes with our family, with our children, with our spouse. How often do you think this happens like this? In the way that God wants it to? How often do you think that it happens that marriage is a living metaphor of what God intends the marriage to be between Christ and the church? I believe that the Lord, the scriptures teach us that we do grow in grace. I don't think that when we say I do that we will immediately have arrived to show a perfect picture to the world of what Christ wants with his church. But I do believe that the Lord wants us to have a very clear vision of what marriage is intended to represent. And that we are willing, when we say I do, that we are willing to take on and be responsible with the talents that God gave to us, to you, and to your spouse. Be responsible. Treat responsibly the talents that your spouse has been given. Make room for the talents that your spouse has been given. Their strengths, their responsibilities. And may God help us all to forbear and to allow for growth and to allow for increased levels of learning as time passes, and that we would be willing to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us, and the scripture said gave himself for us. But lots of times that's not what happens. Lots of times people enter marriage and preciously soon revert to decision making that is consistent with what their preferences have always been and what their point of view is and what my home life was like and what I think is right and according to what my talents are, that's how this should all take place. And according to my previous standards and norms of behavior. And if something is going on that is not consistent with what I think is right, that it must be wrong. And that I need to help educate my spouse so that they understand how they are wrong and I am right, and how you need to move from this place to where I am. That's a human tendency to do, but that's not what Jesus did in the garden. He went a little farther, and he submitted, and he gave his life, and he loved as no one has ever loved. And he continues to show love to his bride, the church. And too often we can get married and revert back. And when that happens, it allows frustration and can allow bitterness and distance to crowd out the oil of love that God intended to be present in marriage, and frustration and bitterness can crowd out and get in the way of us fulfilling God's primary purpose and desire, and that is that we serve His cause rather than our own. And understand that marriage isn't just about my marriage with my spouse for my life, but that I recognize that my marriage is about me and my spouse being willing to fulfill a place that God has ordained from a long time ago to show His love to our spouse, to the world, and to people that may not see the gospel any other way except through somebody's marriage. And I believe that if we'll do that, that if we are willing to submit to a higher plan and a higher calling than my fleshly desires, that actually what happens is that I will find fulfillment in life and in my spouse and in God. He designed it that way. That if we're willing to follow, and if we're willing to give up our way in preference to the Lord, and that if wives fill the place that God has ordained for them to fill, and if husbands love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it, that if we will do that, there is such a blessing to be found. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, Jesus said, and we've read that verse often, and I don't think that that, again, just means to everything except for the marriage relationship. Everything except individuals that represent, in part, the bride of Christ as we are part of the church. But I believe that it very much applies to the marriage relationship and to our place in the body, the church, that Jesus came that we might have life, wonderful life, and that we might have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us that. I want to be faithful. I want to be faithful with the place that God has placed me. God wants us all to be willing to forbear with those that He has put in His body, the church, and He wants us to be willing to learn from those that we're living with. And so I would like to continue to explore this subject a little bit more, but we're out of time today. So I trust that the Lord will bless these thoughts to our hearts and our lives, and that He'll help us know how to practically apply them in life, that we might be a living representation of what Christ intended for us in marriage, to show the world the gospel and the love that Christ has for His church. Amen.